This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Well, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. My name is Maceo Coleman, and I will be the host tonight. And tonight we will be talking about cryptocurrency. And with cryptocurrency, it's a digital form of currency. Some people ask, will it replace paper money and coins? And we're going to find out. Those are going to be some of the questions that we'll be asking. We'll also be asking a number of ways as far as how do you invest in cryptocurrency, some of the returns on investment, and just a number of different things. If you have any questions, you can definitely feel free to push the one, and we will take your question. But our guest this evening will be Mr. Keenan Irving Benning, who is a cryptocurrency advisor. And he will be assisting us with just giving us a basic cryptocurrency 101 as far as how it started and how we can invest in it and what some of the returns are. And if Mr. Irving, Mr. Keenan is on, push the one and say hello. Let me know you're on. All right, Keenan, if you're on, push the one. We'll get you in the queue.
All right.
We can, all right. Welcome, sir. How are you today?
Am I in? Okay, how you doing? I'm well. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right. Well, we have Mr. Keenan, Keenan Benning. And so we want to talk about cryptocurrency tonight. So tell us a little bit about the background, and then, you know, we kind of get started into this digital arena.
I'm a software engineer by trade. I have been in the tech industry for about 8 years now. I graduated at Grand Valley State University in Michigan, Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I pretty much have been involved with, you know, technology for most of my life, I should say. And, I would say, for my day job mostly is, in software engineering. And that has kind of, piqued my interest on crypto since it is technology in a sense. I mean, it's money, but it's also technology. So that where my interest kind of got into it at first. But obviously I saw the investment opportunity after a while, and that's what kind of, got me stuck down the rabbit hole. So. But yeah, we pretty much have been involved with technology as far as like coding and, building computers and fixing viruses and all that, the whole nine.
Okay, so your introduction into the cryptocurrency came from you being involved in computer science.
Not to go too far, because we can touch on it in a minute, but cryptocurrency uses computers to basically secure the network. And I was big on video games, computer video games, in college. And around 2012, 2013, all of a sudden, computers' pricing, jumped extremely high. Like, graphics cards were $200, and all of a sudden they were $800, like, literally overnight. And come to find out, it was because cryptocurrency was booming. And a lot of people are trying to grab up these computer parts so they can mine cryptocurrency. So that's what my first initial reaction to crypto was. Wait a minute, video game parts. And so at the time, I looked at it as, so at the time, I didn't think nothing of it. I just looked at it as, a burden, honestly, because I wanted to buy a new car, a graphics card, but I couldn't afford it anymore. But then over time, of course, I kind of dug into it and realized, I see why people are paying $800 for a graphics card.
Let me just hold on for 1 minute. Let me slow that down, for the people over 50. or the people that technology challenged. You say that you were into gaming. You were into playing the games on the Xbox, PlayStation, that type of thing.
Well, right. But instead, I wasn't playing it on the console like a PS, like a PlayStation. I was playing it on my actual computer, right? So I was playing it on my actual computer. But to play video games on your computer, you need certain PC parts, right? What these PC parts are what allow the video game to run. Well, these PC parts also can work for cryptocurrency, come to find out. Originally they were made for games, but these cryptocurrency creators realized we can actually use these parts to secure our cryptocurrency. So once people realized that, that was a gold mine. Basically, like California Gold Rush, everyone started buying up all the PC parts so they can try to get some Bitcoin, basically. And so that was kind of the initial rush.
I do remember that period of time when that was going on. Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You said something about mining. Now, when I think of mining, I think of coal miners going underground, digging for coal, and coming out dirty.
Right.
Now, when you talk about mining with cryptocurrency, what exactly are you talking about?
So let's take a step back. What is cryptocurrency? What is Bitcoin? What is it trying to do, right? So overall, basically what Bitcoin is, it is a crypto asset. It's basically trying to replace money in a decentralized way. If you think about it, money has always been controlled by government, right? The leaders of society, they're always been the ones who issue money, which has not been a problem, but obviously when there's some situations come up where they, play favorites, basically, And so in 2008, when the global financial crisis happened and they bailed out the banks, Satoshi Nakamoto, which is the unknown inventor of Bitcoin, released a white paper called Bitcoin, and basically he announced that, hey, he's creating this new currency or this new money that can run on computers, is decentralized, meaning it can run on different computers across the world, right? And they all connect, they all sync up together. And then one of the key things he added was there was going to be a 21 million hard cap, meaning there were only ever going to be 21 million. And I believe the reason why he did this was because, obviously people know now that, the government can print money when they want to. But back in 2008, it was a big deal when they bailed out the banks and printed money to bail out the banks. It was a real big deal, and a lot of people didn't like that. Satoshi was one of them. And so he basically created this cryptocurrency called Bitcoin that, anyone could plug into. So if you had a computer, you could download this software and start running a Bitcoin network, right, running the Bitcoin network and start, trading peer-to-peer asset. Basically, you can think of it kind of like, BitTorrent or like Kazaa or some of those, Napster, back in the day where, with music, people were able to download music from other people. The reason why that works so well is because you weren't downloading it from a particular person. You were downloading from everyone at the same time. And so it's hard to stop that because, it's decentralized, meaning every user can, can run it themselves. So you'll have to stop this, you'll have to go to every single individual house or warehouse or whatever and stop, to cut it off, which obviously that's difficult to do.
Okay. So it's kind of like streaming. Back in the day when people were streaming music, it was Napster. That was the first stream.
Right. That was the first version of it. Yeah, that was the first version of it. But it wasn't money. It was just, content.
It
was just content. So
music,
then it evolved to videos over time. But that was the end of it. It stayed right there. Satoshi took that technology, added to it, and basically said, I'm going to do the same thing, but I'm going to do it with money. And that changed everything because, money is power, so that changed everything. Once you take the money out of control of the government, that changes things. And so that was his initial inspiration, it wasn't necessarily to get rich or, make people wealthy. It was more so to take control out of the few and give it to the many.
Okay, now,
and so when you come,
with that,
yeah.
All right, I'm just trying to slow it down for the people over 50.
Even for people under 50, trust me, this is
well, very I know.
Anyone who feel has trouble understanding, don't feel ashamed, because PhD level mathematicians don't understand Bitcoin or a cryptocurrency, so it takes some time.
Now,
really graphic.
All right. Well, we kind of creating a foundation as far as the beginning of cryptocurrency and Satoshi Nakamoto being the presumed pseudonymous person behind, and it's a lot of technological words and jargon when we're talking about
right,
this.
Right, right.
So we'll try to break it down on a kindergarten level, just so
of course
people can at least have an understanding of what the digital currency is, and then we'll get into some larger things as far as what other types of cryptocurrencies there are, because Bitcoin isn't the only one, and how it's traded, and things of that nature. So with the foundation that we built, that Bitcoin was started in 2009. You've given some history as to why Nakamoto created it. Okay, now let's move a couple years past 2009. At what point did other cryptocurrencies begin to come into the market?
I would say it was right about 2012, 2013. That was when people realized that, hey, we can actually innovate on the technology that Bitcoin invented. And so they were trying to figure out how they can, tweak it a little bit. Again, Bitcoin was kind of set in stone. Satoshi had an idea. He wanted it a certain way, and that's the way it's been pretty much since its entire existence. And so some people may think it was kind of restrictive. For instance, the 21 million cap of coins, some people think we should have more. So people start playing around with, okay, what if we have 100 million coins? What if we have 100 billion coins? People just start playing around with it to figure out what would be a better way. And so by 2012, 2013 was when newer coins start popping up, like Litecoin, XRP. Those are ones that are still popular to this day. But those are honestly the only two coins that are still popular today. I can't forget Dogecoin, of course. Dogecoin also.
Right.
So, yeah, Dogecoin, XRP, and Litecoin were, the main ones that were birthed in 2013.
All right. Go ahead. I was just going to say we've got an audience out here. Some people may be interested in participating in this conversation. If you are interested in participating in the conversation by asking a question or offering making a statement or something of that nature, press the 1. And I believe we have a caller on the line now. Caller, what's your name and what's your question or comment?
And how are you this evening?
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Miss Lucy, how you doing?
I guess I am lost. I know you've broken it down so that at the kindergarten level, but can we go to the preschool level? And I'm in the 70s.
All right, right.
I know the young man is just beautiful, but slow it down where I can understand, okay? Because I'm trying to hear with my eyes and my ears, okay?
Yeah.
But let me ask you this.
I got you.
When you talk about this currency, now my mind went over to what's happening in Singapore. I'm probably way off. I know that they do not, they don't have, tell me if I'm off, really off. They use their cell phones to buy and sell and things of that nature, from what I can see.
No, you're exactly right.
Cryptocurrency or what? Beg your pardon?
No, you're exactly right about that. They do. A lot of Asian countries are much more advanced when it comes to digital payments.
Yeah,
but
they use their cell phones. Is this what they're trying to change here in the Americas or what? When you say currency,
in a sense, but it's a little bit different. So if you ever use Cash App or PayPal or any of those, Venmo or any of those services in America, that's what, you know, the Asian countries are using. They're using their phones, but it's still using their actual currency. So if they have dollars, like U.S. dollars, they're still using the U.S. dollar to exchange. They're just not using, they're just not exchanging physical cash anymore or using credit cards. They're just.
Now you're saying that
so
the person
using
that,
actual,
go ahead.
Mm-hmm, go ahead.
You're saying that the person
saying
who started this was in Japan, sound like a Japanese person who came up with this idea?
It seems like it, but, I mean, it seems like it was Satoshi Nakamoto, definitely is a Japanese name. However,
it sound like,
we don't know. No one knows. So, I mean, no one has ever seen him before. No one has seen his face before. All we have are messages from a message board, you know, from different posts that he wrote on the Internet. So there's no way to know that he's actually Japanese. It could be somebody
he's
going
anonymous.
Off, but he was anonymous.
He's anonymous.
You got to remember what he was doing. Yeah, he was trying to take away the power of money from government. You know, the government's not going to be okay with that. And so he felt that he needed to stay anonymous for his safety. Or them. We don't know. We don't know.
Yeah, I agree. On that note, I think that's one of the reasons that they killed Muammar Gaddafi, because I think he was in the process of trying to change currency to the United States of Africa and put it back on the gold.
Gold standard.
I think that's why
now,
they ended up taking Gaddafi out.
Speaking of gold, because gold is a good way to visualize what Bitcoin is trying to do. Gold has always been viewed as the dominant form of money because it's hard to make. It's hard to find, right? You can't, like, just create it out of thin air. And so if a government, they have to actually have it to, you know, say, you have to actually get hold of it. Whereas with paper dollars, they just make that. And so if they need more, they can just make more whenever they want to. And so Bitcoin is trying to innovate on gold. Because you think about gold, it does have a couple flaws. While it's, you know, scarce and valuable, it's heavy and hard to move. And you have to secure it physically, meaning you need you need someone to protect it for you. And so that means it's susceptible to theft. And so you've always heard of different wars where they'll come and take the gold. They'll come and sack the city and take their gold because you actually have to secure it. And so gold had a fundamental flaw in the sense of, you know, if you can't, you know, protect your gold from, you know, your government or just, you know, some bad-minded people, you know, you could lose it. Well, Bitcoin, being digital, is secured by a password that only you know. And so if you don't tell no one this password, there's no way they can get it. And also because of that, you can now move from border to border with your whole wealth intact. Because if you were, you know, obviously Americans don't deal with this too often because our currency has been relatively stable. But in other countries, their currencies have collapsed. And if they try to leave with their money, they get it taken. Like the government would take their money. They can't leave without it. You know, you can go, but we need your gold. You can't leave it with the gold. And so, you know, this is basically a way to, you know, protect yourself from, you know, oppressive regimes in a sense. And so, you know, gold is a good way to view it. If you can understand, you get your mind around, you know, why gold is valuable, then you can get your mind around Bitcoin, because Bitcoin is trying to emulate gold just in a digital format.
Mm-hmm.
If that helps.
Okay, it helps. Yeah, thanks so much. Just slow it down. I'm trying to stick with you now. Slow it down.
I'm going to slow it down. I talk too fast.
Okay.
I'm going to slow it down.
Okay, love you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Did you move over? Hello?
Somewhere else.
Hello? Kenan. Hello, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, I couldn't hear you. All right.
Okay.
So,
yep.
Yeah, I got disconnected for a minute. All right. We're going to try to keep this on the elementary level, but when you start talking about digital coding and computer technology, it gets a little out there, and, you know, really that's what separates
that's
the men from the boys and the girls from the women when it comes to, you know, making money. Some people are intimidated by it, and some people just don't know how to get started. And so they don't get started. And the people that are in the technology or become educated in it are able to participate and invest money and, you know, and in some instances, you know, get a large return on their investment in a very short period of time. So, the, you know, focus of this show is to try to educate people and, you know, and even for myself to get some education, you know, so that we can, you know, make more money in this. But I believe we have a caller that's calling in, and we'll take this next caller. Caller, what's your name, and do you have a comment or a question?
Hello?
Hi, caller, can you hear me? Yes. Hi, caller, what's your name, and do you have a question or a comment?
This is Tom Clark from Detroit. You said there were, I guess you said there were more than two currencies that were out there, but now we're down to two major of these
cryptocurrencies.
Yeah.
So
what happened to the
problem
people that had the other ones that no longer exist? Did they get them? Did they get their money back, or what? How do you guarantee?
So the problem, I mean, obviously with investing, there is no guarantee in anything. However, with cryptocurrency, it's simply software. So you can think of software like your, you know, like anything that you run, you know, Google or, you know, your phone app or anything like that. So it never technically dies. However, it can lose value. If no one wants to buy it from you, then you still have it, but it has no value anymore. And so back in 2012, 2013, a lot of people were experimenting because the technology was brand new. People, if you go back to 2013, most people thought Bitcoin was just a fad or some scam. What are you guys doing? Right, blah blah blah. Like, what are you guys doing? So no one believed in it. Even the builders didn't believe in it as strongly as people do now. So at the time, people were literally just playing around, trying to understand the technology and just experimenting. And so, but obviously, hype came and people started following in like a dot-com boom, thinking that this was going to take over the world, and they started buying into projects that more or less didn't really have anything going on. There was more so than just hype, you know? And so if you bought in and you weren't able to sell out before everyone else did, well, you still have it. It's just no longer valuable. And so there were, you know, let's say maybe 10 or 15 different projects from back then. They still exist. You can still run them. You know, you can still use them and exchange with them, but you know, you'd be hard pressed to find somebody actually wants it.
Well, that, I guess we could probably say that's like having Kmart stock at, you know, at its peak.
No,
you know,
it may
have peaked at $15, but then when they went bankrupt, you know, it's worth a penny. And so you still you can still have it,
but
yeah, you still got it, but it ain't worth no money.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Okay. So what kind of security is put on there to make sure that you protect yourself, or is it just like the IRA? You know.
Yeah, just like
they're out
bonds,
there.
I mean,
but there's nothing behind them.
There's no guarantee.
No, I mean,
right.
there's no guarantee with any investment. Of course, what you're investing when you're investing into a crypto asset, you're investing into technology. You're investing into a money system, right? That's outside of the traditional system, and so the reason why you would do so. It's because, you know, you don't trust the traditional system. Now, if you have full faith in the traditional system and don't think there's anything wrong with it, then, you know, there wouldn't be no reason for you to necessarily invest in cryptocurrency or crypto assets.
And you're talking dollars
and
cents, stocks, and bonds, right?
Exactly.
You're talking paper.
Right. It's paper money. Yeah, if you trust the U.S. dollar, like a dollar, if you trust it, if you give it to someone else, it's going to work, right? Then you don't really have an issue with leaving your currency, which is why Americans specifically have had the hardest time understanding the purpose of cryptocurrency, because our currency has been stable, relatively speaking, more so than any other currency. Someone in Zimbabwe or Venezuela, they understand.
Isn't that like that Bernie guy that stole all those people's money? Bernie Madoff?
No. Bernie Madoff, right.
I know he stole.
I hear what you're saying.
He built a stock.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that he had nothing behind the money that, you know, people were giving him. You know what I'm saying? There was no guarantee that they're going to get the money back.
There's nothing back.
That's why he went to jail, because he was taking money and then he was paying off
the debts
with
the
money that other people were paying. It was a Ponzi scheme, so he was doing something illegal. It just happened to be billions of dollars worth. That's why he went to jail.
Bernie
Madoff.
There are some people that are fearful that crypto assets are a Ponzi scheme as well, because if they don't do what they say they're going to do, then you could consider them a Ponzi scheme. Because if I bought in early and then I sell it to you, you know, 10 years later, and it doesn't do what you expected it to do, right? Well, then you would consider that a Ponzi scheme, right? And so the problem with cryptocurrency, being that it's software, means anyone can create one. I can create one right now and say, hey, I've created a new Bitcoin that's better than yours. Because, again, this is software. This is not something that anyone can do. You're not printing money.
Okay.
You're creating a digital asset, and you can just create that out of thin air. Doesn't mean it has value when you create it, but you can create it. Now, if I create my own currency and then go on a marketing campaign saying it's the best thing ever and a whole bunch of people buy it, and then one moment they buy it and run away.
So
you
basically
create
what
you're
saying, wait a minute, the rich people, if you're rich, if you can create your own currency.
You don't have to be rich. Anyone can do this.
Rich people are the ones that is going to put out $1 million on a currency something. You see what I mean? A guy like me going to put out $100, you know, they ain't going to affect nobody.
I would disagree with that. I would disagree. I know people that have, because some cryptocurrency has started off at 5 cents, or a dollar, Bitcoin at one point. I don't know what
zero.
The lowest point was, but I know it's
$69,000
now. What did it start off
at? It went from zero to here. Started off at zero. It was worth nothing at first, literally nothing. And then over time, people realized, wait a minute, this is not worth nothing. This is worth everything, or at least some people did, right? Now everyone has a different value on the way they value Bitcoin specifically. He raises a good point. There are risks if you're buying random coins that you never heard of before, because you don't know, especially if you're not technical, you don't know, if it's really doing what people tell you it's going to do. And so, that's where, doing your research and, joining a call like this really, helps you out, because there are a lot of, scams out here just trying to prey on people that don't know what they're doing, trying to just make some extra money. And so you do have to be careful in that sense. But I would say now it has gotten a lot more mature. The industry is much more mature, where there are a lot less scams. There are a lot of companies are much more regulated. Like, you can go to a Coinbase and don't have to worry about, getting hacked or losing your funds. You can go to a company called Voyager, and they can set it up where you can just, buy Bitcoin monthly, every month, like $50 a month, and don't even think about it. The industry has matured a lot more to where you don't have to have that same fear of, I'm going to lose all my money, basically.
All right. Well, hold that thought, because I want to
Go ahead.
Yeah, hold that thought, Kingdom, because I want to come back to Voyager. And other ways to purchase this digital currency. But I think we have another caller right now. Caller, what's your name?
Okay.
Do you have a comment or a question?
Hi, my name is Myrna. I do have a question. Is there a way to store your Bitcoin that's not online? Does it have to be on the online platform? Do you download that and keep it and travel with it that way, or you leave it out there in the network?
So the way Bitcoin works, So all the Bitcoin for always are always stored online, always, right? And you never can take them offline. What you can take offline are what they call your private key. Your private key is how you control how your Bitcoin moves. So you can either have your private key on your exchange, like a Coinbase. You can just leave it there. Some people just leave it there because it's the easiest thing to do. Or if you want to keep it
Keenan. When you say that, what do you mean? Because you just kind of you know what you're talking about, but you know I don't know what you're talking about. So say that again and say it slow.
So you can look at crypto two ways. You can look at it basically like you have a bank. Do you want to put your money in a bank or do you want to put your money underneath your mattress? Right? You understand that concept?
Okay.
With crypto, you can have the same concept with crypto. You can either have your crypto on an exchange, meaning like on Coinbase platform, right? Where Coinbase
now you say Coinbase, you can actually have the coins in your pocket.
Okay, Coinbase is a company. All right, my bad. Coinbase is a company.
Okay,
right, where you can buy and trade crypto. I'm sorry. Coinbase is a company where you can buy and trade crypto. It's one of the most popular ones in America, right? And so if you were to buy your crypto on Coinbase, right, you can leave it there. Like, and that would be no different than a bank, how you leave your money on a bank, right?
Okay.
You don't actually have access to your money right now. It's not in your pocket, but you do have access to it because, you know, you got your debit card or you can go to the ATM or whatever.
Okay.
You can do the same thing with crypto. You can either have it on exchange, leave it there, and let Coinbase protect it, or if you want to have it, or if you sleep better at night with it next to you, right, you could take it off exchange and put it on your own wallet, right?
Now, what do you mean when you say put it on your own? What do you mean when you say put it on your own wallet? Give me an example compared to something.
So, let's see. The way crypto works is you have to every asset has a wallet, right? And the wallet is what like holds your Bitcoin or your crypto. So you can think of it as your actual wallet in your pocket, right? That's what actually holds your crypto or actually holds your money, right?
But this is digital.
This is digital. Remember, everything is digital. But we have to have some type of physical reference to understand what we're doing here. But this is digital. It's a wallet, but it's digital. The beauty of the wallet is you can have it. You have a wallet either on your computer, right, on your individual computer, right, or you can have a wallet with your bank account, like a Coinbase or Voyager, right?
That's a different particular company that's online, Voyager or Coinbase.
Voyager, Coinbase, Cash App, PayPal. You know, there's a couple other companies that allow you to buy crypto. But all those companies
I think people are familiar with PayPal and Cash App. Okay.
They just jumped in the game a little bit later. However, but you can use those services to secure your Bitcoin if you don't trust yourself doing it yourself. But if you want to take your security to another level and actually have, you know, your crypto with you, right, that way you never have to fear it being lost. Because let's say you try to log into Coinbase or Gemini or Voyager and the website don't work, right? Well, now you ain't got your money. You know, and so some people don't like that. Some people don't like trusting third parties at all. Well, now you don't have to. You can, but you don't have to.
So what's the alternative?
The alternative is about telling you how you can take the crypto off the exchange into your own wallet on your computer, right? That way, now it's on your computer. It's not with Coinbase. And so to get your crypto now, they got to come and get your computer. Whereas if it's on Coinbase or Gemini, right, you know, you don't control it. I mean, you do, but you don't. Like someone else controls it. I mean, and to wrap this up a little bit, make it a little bit more clear, the way crypto works is you have a private key and a public key. These are two concepts that, you know, are you can't really get around from. You have to really understand this. Your public key or public address is the address you send to people so they can send you money, right? So you will have this address, like an email address, right? You have an email address
okay.
so you can send you emails, right?
Okay.
You also right. have something called a public address. You also have something called a public address. This public address, like, refers to your wallet. It's like the address to your wallet. If I send money to this
okay.
address, then now whoever owns this wallet gets it, right?
All right. All right.
So that's how you receive funds. To spend funds, you must have a private key that unlocks that public key, right? So this private key that you would have in your possession, which would be like a digital string of characters, right? It'll be like a, you know, like it'll be like a little key, a little like combination, right? It'll be like a key.
Okay.
This key unlocks that wallet and allows you to spend money with it, right? It allows you to move the Bitcoin from one wallet to another wallet. Right. If you don't have this private key, you can't spend the money. If you do have the private
what
key,
if you forget,
you can't.
What if you forget the combination of numbers? Well,
you lost your money forever. You lost your money forever.
You
and people have done that. There's a story of a dude who bought like $500 of Bitcoin in 2010, and now it's worth $200 million. And he can't get it because he lost his wallet. He lost the password.
I heard that. $200 million. He had something where he ended up throwing it away, and it was in a landfill. And I think he was willing to pay so much money to have them go through this landfill to find. Oh, I think it was his flash drive. I think he had it on a flash drive.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember Bitcoin was worth pennies back then. It was worth pennies, and now it's worth $60,000. You know, if it was worth pennies,
now would you say $60,000 a share, or is $60,000
I would say $60,000. I mean, it's money. It's not stock. It's actual money. So you can say $60,000 a coin, or per unit.
Okay.
It's per coin
so
or per unit.
If I wanted to buy Bitcoin and pay $1,000 for it, then I'm getting a percentage of what Bitcoin is worth.
Right. Okay.
Right.
So the smallest unit of a Bitcoin is called a Satoshi, right? That's the smallest unit in Bitcoin, and that's
no, that's what they
million
call it after
Satoshi.
After my man, the name.
I mean,
okay.
Yeah, they named it after him. They named it after him. The smallest unit is called
okay.
a Satoshi. So 100 million Satoshi equal one Bitcoin.
Okay.
And so you can buy, as you buy one Satoshi, which obviously is like less than a penny. So you really can't buy that, but, you know, obviously you can buy it with however much you're comfortable with. My first purchase in 2016 was $5. So
okay.
I put $5 in, and I see what happens. So you don't have to buy a whole one. You can buy whatever.
You bought $5
worth
of Bitcoin?
I bought $5 worth of Bitcoin in 2016.
You still have?
That was my first purchase, because I didn't know what I was doing. It was just $5. I was like,
you still own
$5.
That?
I didn't see what happened. Yeah, I ain't sold nothing. I have not sold.
Okay, so how much is that $5 worth right now? If you don't mind me asking.
That $5 is probably worth. That was a good thing for like $500, I think, at the time. So, $500 probably worth $500 now.
That $5 is worth about $500 in Bitcoin right now.
Right, because, I mean, Bitcoin at the time was worth about $500. And now
okay,
you know,
and you bought $5 worth.
I bought $5 worth, yeah. I mean, I bought more since then, but at the first time I was scared, I didn't know what I was doing either. So
no,
try it, you know, I'll see what happens. But the point is, I actually could have bought in Bitcoin, obviously, much earlier than that, but I didn't know I could buy fractions of it. I thought you had to buy a whole one. Like everyone else. Everyone thinks you have to buy a whole one. And so at the time when Bitcoin was $200, granted, I kicked myself for not buying it, right? But I was in college. I didn't have $200. I wasn't buying $200 on some magic internet money. But I could have bought, you know, $5.
Right.
You know,
well,
I didn't know.
Let's see. Well, Ms. Myrna, did that actually answer your question, or you still don't know what the answer is? You
no,
said
that
Myrna.
Answered my question. That
okay,
answered my
okay,
question.
Okay. Okay. Now, are you interested in investing in some cryptocurrency?
I actually have some through the Cash App. And I kind of just got that from using the Cash App. I have not actively done it. I passively own some shares in BitShit or some units in Bitcoin just from using the Cash App. So I do need to research more into it.
Now, explain how that works when you get interest in Bitcoin through Cash App. How does that work, Myrna? How does that work?
So when I use Cash App, you can get different rewards or discounts on your Cash App card. So you load it up, and they might give you, like, 10% off your purchase at a Starbucks store or any coffee shop. So that money that I save, that 10% that discount I get, they use that to purchase some Bitcoins, a percentage in Bitcoin, versus giving me the cash back in my pocket. That's how I kind of have accumulation of some Bitcoins from using my Cash App card.
Very good. Okay. All right. Well, you have any other questions for Mr. Keenan while you're online? Because we're going to talk with I guess the next question is going to be how you buy it, you know, other than, you know, through Cash App or, you know, some other ways that you can purchase it. You have any other questions, Ms. Myrna?
No, I'm interested
Anything?
All right,
cool.
All right, well, thanks for calling in tonight. All right, Keenan. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a break right now. Give me a chance to sip on some of this Appleton Estate. we'll be right back, and then we'll go into ways that you can purchase cryptocurrency and some of the other cryptocurrencies that's out there. So we'll be right back after these messages.
If you are in need of life insurance, auto or home insurance, or need help in getting out of debt, call your helpful insurance agents at Prime Financial Services. Did you know if you add a child rider to your life insurance policy, you can add multiple children for the price of one, starting at $10,000 worth of coverage for under $10. Call today for a free quote at 313-293-0979. Mention you heard this ad on this show for a free gift.
We'll be back to the Let's Talk About It, Jenny White Show.
For a bit more real, are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
Want to start a business or have tax issues? We know exactly how to handle your individual needs. We personalize each individual and give you the time required to focus on your needs. We audit you before the IRS does. The IRS is not on your side, but we are. We set up companies, do tax preparation, tax and retirement planning, bookkeeping, IRS audits, and reviews. Please call me, Deborah Mitchell, owner of Mitchell & Company, for a free consultation at 248-354-5122. And visit my website, MitchellTaxAccounting.com.
Is your food bland and you want to spice it up? Does it taste like something is missing? What's missing is my seasoning, Butch's Bodacious Seasoning, all-purpose seasoning, good on absolutely everything but ice cream. I'm Linda Porter, President and CEO of Butch's Bodacious Seasoning. To get the spice back in your life, call me at 313-393-2738. You won't regret it. Thank you.
We're back.
And we're back to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show.
All right. This is Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. I'm your host, Maceo Coleman, and we're talking with Mr. Keenan Benning, crypto advisor, cryptocurrency advisor, about cryptocurrency. And so if you have any questions or comments that you'd like to add or talk about how you made millions of dollars by investing in cryptocurrency, feel free to push the one, and we will get you on. But in the meantime, Keenan, what are some of the other cryptocurrencies that are out there other than Bitcoin? Can you talk about, is it Dogecoin, D-O-G-E coin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, right, we got Dogecoin. Dogecoin obviously has become very popular lately. Basically, Dogecoin is kind of like a, it'll start off as a joke coin, a meme. Basically, two developers thought Bitcoin was a scam, and they wanted to show how much of a scam it was, so they created a joke coin called Doge, and so they wanted to prove how much of a scam it was. And but, you know, the good beauty of the market is, just because the inventor doesn't like it doesn't mean we won't. The world can still like it, even though they don't. The inventor doesn't like it. And so, yeah, Doge is real popular. It doesn't really serve a purpose beyond, you know, it's just a meme, but it doesn't mean you can't make it. However,
now, just to add to that, I think Dogecoin became popular because Elon Musk bought some of it.
Yeah,
the owner of Tesla.
Definitely.
And, yeah,
definitely.
I think he bought some of it, talked about it, tweeted about it, and I think the price
shot up after
that.
And he's supposed to be on Saturday Night Live this weekend, and he said he was going to do something for Dogecoin, like, you know, make it even more popular.
Okay.
So, yeah, people are all investing in Doge, just hoping that Elon does something with it. But for me, that's not really a good investment. That's more so like a lottery ticket. You know, that's like a gamble. You know, it's not really anything productive. It's more so like, hey, I can invest in this. It can blow. Don't get me wrong. But at this point, I would say, you know, Dogecoin right now is worth $80 billion. $80 billion. That's a lot of money. $80 billion. Would it be? 80. It's worth more than Delta Airlines and American Airlines combined. It's ridiculous.
I read that.
Really
okay.
Insane. But that doesn't mean you can't make more money. It's just, you know, I would say it's very risky at this point. You know, if you had did it a couple months ago, cool.
Yeah.
At this point, it doesn't seem like the best, you know what I'm saying, the best bet on gamble. But if you got
$1,000, much higher, huh?
I mean, I said that, you know, $40 billion ago. So don't take my – who knows, you know?
Yeah,
so
okay,
it could do anything. Who knows? But people who are investing in Doge aren't investing in it because of some reason. They're investing because it's going to go up. And that, to me, is not an investment. I don't invest in things just because I think the number is going to go up. I invest in it because I think it's going to do something. Like, it's going to provide a value to the world in some way or fashion. But you have Dogecoin. That's one popular one. You have Ethereum, which is real popular. That's one I think people should definitely look into. Ethereum is trying to basically take the concept of Bitcoin and trust and turn it into, I mean, how can I explain this? Ethereum is really hard to wrap your head around. But it's really trying to decentralize trust. It's trying to automate trust. And so where you could You know, you don't no longer have to trust a bank or no longer have to trust third parties for any contracts. The idea was basically, hey, what it, you know, the big thing that Bitcoin solved was trust. I don't know you. You don't know me. We can exchange this currency and don't have to worry about each other stealing from each other, right? That was what Bitcoin solved, the trust issue of digital currencies. That's what Bitcoin solved. Ethereum said, hey, what if we build on top of this and actually create contracts on top of it and have contracts execute automatically when something happens? So, for instance, let's say me and you get into a contract, and I say the moment the weather hits 70 degrees, I send you $500, right? We can go into we can build a contract on Ethereum, and the moment the weather hits 70 degrees, you automatically get your money. And so once we do that, I don't have to trust you that you're going to pay me. I know you're going to pay me because the money's in the contract. I don't need lawyers. I don't need police. I don't need anyone to enforce the contract because it's being enforced automatically. And so that's a whole another. You know, that would probably take a whole another hour to explain really how that works. But a high level overview is basically Ethereum is trying to, you know, honestly replicate banking. In a sense, it's trying to replicate banking. It's trying to take what banks do, and you know, allow it to be global and decentralized and not in the hands of a few.
So that's okay. Now let me ask you this.
Questions about that one? Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. A lot of this, these transactions are anonymous and unregulated. Isn't that correct?
Mm. Well, yeah. They're definitely. I won't say anonymous. I would say pseudo-anonymous, meaning I don't know who you are, but if I figure out who you are, now I know everything you did, you know. So don't think it's anonymous. That was something we thought early in the game, but we realized it's actually not anonymous, and people can actually track exactly what you're doing. You just, you know, once they figure out who you are, they have to do that part first. But go ahead. Anything else?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's so much to this is going, and it's, you know, going to be impossible to cover all this. Yeah, it's a lot, and it's going to be impossible to cover all this in one show. And so what we're going to do is we're going to, you know, just give our listeners some information to do some research on so that, you know, we'll have another show and we'll be able to talk more about cryptocurrency. And then, you know, the listeners will be a little more educated, those that aren't educated in investing in this digital currency, and will be able to participate a little more. But while I still have you on, can you explain what a blockchain is?
Yes. So the blockchain is the underlying technology that powers all these crypto assets. So you got Dogecoin, you got Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ethereum, you know, XRP. There's all these different coins, right? They all are powered by this technology called a blockchain. And what a blockchain basically does is it allows you to put transactions into a block and then link them together. And then you link them together, that way they can't be tampered. And the reason why you do this is so that you can trust that once something is on the ledger, it stays there, right? And it never can disappear. And I can never change it. It's immutable. And so, and it's public as well. And so, you know, so it's really, a blockchain is really just a chain of blocks. That's why they call it a blockchain. And a block is just a bunch of transactions put together, right? So you take a whole bunch of transactions, put them in a block, and then you chain it to another block, which is basically a whole another list of transactions. And you keep doing this over and over and over again. And basically that shows you the history of that particular blockchain. So if you go on Bitcoin.com, or I think Bitcoin.com. No, Bitcoin, I would say Bitcoin.org, I think. But if you go on their website, you can actually look at the history of the blockchain starting back from 2009 all the way to today. And you can see literally every single transaction that has ever happened, you know, on the network in its entire history, right?
Okay.
So the reason for a blockchain is for the trust. If you don't have a trust issue, honestly, a blockchain is just a slow database, right? It's just a bunch of data, and it's just, you know, But they add, well, basically what Satoshi did, he took a database and added all this extra stuff to it to eliminate the trust issues you have with third parties. Like, if you think about your bank account, you go on Chase. Chase says you have a certain amount of money. That's what Chase says, right? No one else knows that but Chase. No one else knows that. No one else can verify that but Chase. You know, so if there's ever a situation where, you know, you want to dispute what Chase said, right, it's you versus them. Well, Bitcoin, the way it flips that on its head, Bitcoin flips that on its head and says everyone knows about it, literally everyone. The entire world knows about it at the same time, right? So when a transaction happens, the entire network learns about it at the same time. So there's no way for anyone to lie.
They don't know. They don't know your name or know who you are.
They don't, no, no, no. They don't specifically. They don't know who you are. They just know your address. They just know some address.
Okay, address. All right.
They don't know. Right. They don't know it's you, right? They don't know it's Mr. Coleman. You know what I'm saying? You spend money left and right. No, they just know some address, which is some random digit of characters, did this.
Okay.
So that's why we call it pseudo anonymous.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. For somebody that's got $100 that's interested in investing in some crypto just to, you know, for the hell of it, just to see what it's going to do, I can afford to lose $100, you know. But then, you know, if I can make $1 million off this $100, I'm all in. So where would they start to look? I mean, tell us about Robinhood or eToro or some of those other brokerages that they can go to.
Right. So if you want to – I look at crypto as two ways. There's two different individuals who want to get into crypto. There's the one that want to just get involved but don't want to think about that. Don't want to think about it. They just want to get some exposure to it just so they can, you know, benefit from it. There's those types, and there's the types that want to go down a rabbit hole and really understand it, right? So for the ones that want to just throw $100 at it, not really think about it, and just benefit from it, I recommend you do a split, 50% Bitcoin, 50% Ethereum. Keep it simple.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
You do a flip.
Now, Who would they call to say, hey, I got $100. I want to buy $50 worth of Bitcoin, $50 worth of Ethereum. Who do I call?
Right. So that's where we can come to our crypto brokerages, right? There's three that I come up with off the top of my head. One is Voyager, right? Just how it sounds. And then we also have Coinbase, right, which I talked about before.
Okay.
And then finally we have Gemini.
All right.
So these are the three U.S. exchanges that I think, you know, are worth most people's time when it comes to investing in cryptocurrency. Now, you said Robinhood. I do not recommend using Robinhood to invest in crypto. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
So we talked about earlier how when the you had a caller call in asking, can she move her crypto off of exchange, right? So she has her crypto on Cash App. She wants to take her crypto off of Cash App. She was asking about that, right?
Right.
You can't do that with Robinhood. If you buy anything on Robinhood, it has to stay on Robinhood. It would do not allow you to move your crypto off exchange. And so for that reason, I don't recommend using them. For crypto. Now, you can use them for stocks, for sure. But for crypto, I think you always want to leave the option open to take it off exchange. You don't have to do it, but you want to have an option.
And so
I recommend Voyager, Coinbase, and Gemini because they give you that option. Now, if you want to keep it on there, let's say you don't trust yourself or you don't want to have to deal with private keys and all that. What the hell? What is this boy talking? What is he talking about? If you don't want to have to deal with all that, you don't have to. You can just leave it on exchange and call it a day. But, you know, if you are going to leave an exchange, do so with some exchanges that will at least give you the option to take it off. So those would be the three that I would recommend as far as
if I'm interested in getting started, I would go to Voyager.com, Coinbase.com, or Gemini.com and just kind of see what they got going on and then go from there.
Exactly.
Now, if someone's interested in getting in contact with you for more cryptocurrency advice, how would they get in touch with you?
Yeah, so I have a website. It's called keepitasatoshi.com, And that's pretty much my website for all crypto-related questions. And, you know, if you have any concerns, that's, you know, keep it a Satoshi.com. And Satoshi
okay.
is
okay.
S-A.
Hold on. You lost me. You lost me after keep it.
Or you can say keep it a sat. How about that? Keep it a sat.com. S-A-T. Keep it a sat.com. Sat.
Keep it A-T.
Keep it a sat.com. So keep it a S-A-T. The short
okay.
word form of Satoshi is sat. So instead of saying Satoshi all the time, we sometimes say sat.
And that will bring up your web page?
Yeah. Yep, keep it a sat.
Okay.
Bring up the
so keep it a sat.com will bring up your web page. And once that web page comes up, what will we find?
When your web page will come up, you'll see, you know, it'll give you a brief overview of crypto, you know, understand what it is, why it's something you should look into. And then you can submit your email address. And once I have your email address, you know, now basically it's like a newsletter where I'm sending out, you know, random, you know, sending out bits of information about crypto, how it works, you know, how you get involved, just more free information to keep you ahead of the curve. So it'll give you a chance to
okay.
you know, tap in and really understand. You know, I can kind of, you know, hold your hand a little bit better. And then from there, on that website, I'll be, you know, releasing more content, courses, and things of that nature. That way, you know, if you need more, you know, more support, you'll be able to get it.
All right. Well, I hope you're charging for this information, because there's a lot of beginners out there that don't have a clue that really would be, you know, they've got a little extra money to the side, mm-hmm. whether it's stimulus money or whatever, wherever your money's coming from that you're interested in, and, you know, you could afford to take a risk, you know, just like you go to the store and play the Mega Millions or, you know, the Powerball. Cross your fingers and hope, yeah, and hope you, you know, cross your fingers and hope you win. You know, if you want to do the same thing with this cryptocurrency, there's an opportunity. What are some of the largest returns that you, you know, we're going to start wrapping this up, but what are some of the largest returns that you heard of on here as far as people investing and then ultimately making? We did talk about the guy that made $200 million and lost.
Right. Right, Mike. Now, granted, he made his $200 million over 10 years. These people have made much more in much quicker time. Ethereum, for example, when it launched, it was a dollar. Right? It was a dollar per Ethereum, right? And Ethereum right now is $3,300. You know, I think it's $3,400, I should say. So it went from a dollar to $3,400.
So a dollar would be worth $3,400 right now.
Exactly. So if you do the math, you put in $100 in, you put in $1,000 in, you already know some people have definitely changed their lives, for sure. No, crypto has probably made more.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, crypto has probably made more millionaires in the last 10 years than anything else, by far. Because the reason why it's so powerful is because you can get in on the ground floor. You can join a project at its infancy, when it's really early. In traditional finance, with stocks, you normally have to wait until it IPOs. By that time, it's already big. And so the chance of it growing massively, you know, has already taken place. And so people who went out, if you went to invest in Uber, right, you had to wait until Uber was already $100 million, $100 billion.
Okay.
You couldn't invest in Uber when it was $10 million, you know, whereas with crypto, there are projects where you're able to get in on the ground floor. I bought into a project 2 years ago that was worth $5 million. Now it's worth $500 million. So that's 100x, right? So, you know, these opportunities right now are insane, definitely.
Well, let me ask
you.
You
got to tap in. Go ahead.
Can you speak on the GameStop stock and how that worked for people that may have GameStop? Now, that was a fledgling company that was in the process of going out of business, right?
Right, right. So that was basically the long story short on that one. That was a company that was going out of business. And so some hedge funds realized that and started shorting it. And when they mean by shorting, that means they were betting that the price was going to go down. And so if the price went down, they benefited from it. So they were actually going to make money as the price of GameStop went down. And so what happened was there's a Reddit channel, where Reddit is a social media website, some guys on the social media website.
That's Reddit, R-E-D-D-I-T.
Correct.
Okay.
So that's more like a forum, social media. It's like it's social media, but it's a little different. It's mostly like just forums and posts of that nature. So it's a little different than like a Facebook or Twitter. But anyway, yeah, a group of guys got into Reddit and they made this thing called Wall Street Bets. And basically, what they realized was they could actually figure out the companies that these hedge funds were shorting. And the way shorts work, if the price goes down, you make money. But the price goes up, you lose money. And it's the reverse
okay.
of investing normally. If you invest normally, your upside potential is unlimited, but your downside potential is limited to zero, right? So if you put $50 in, the most you're going to lose is $50. But the most you can make
right.
is anything, right? You can make as much as you want, right?
That's
you can make
true.
A limited amount of money. That $50 can go from 50 to 500 million, you know what I'm saying? Or it just goes down to zero.
Or
shorting
right.
is the opposite of that. Shorting is the opposite of that. So, yo, how much money you can make is limited, but how much money you can lose is unlimited. Because the price is going up, you have to keep buying more of that stock to cover yourself. And so Reddit guys realized that these guys were shorting GameStop, and they said, hey, we could screw those guys over if we start all getting together and buying GameStop. Because if we make the price go up, they have to buy more shares at the higher price, and they keep losing money. And so that's basically what they did. They use the power of social media to get a lot of people involved. And normally you can't do this, right? Because normally people don't have enough money to compete against hedge funds. Hedge funds have
that's true.
Billions of dollars. They have billions of dollars. So normally you can't do this.
That's true.
But somehow, some way, we had the stimulus. You know, we had internet. People were at home alone. What's-name had just happened. This was in January. So, you know, the riots at the Capitol had just happened. So people weren't doing anything. So that all those things lined up to where everyone was able to get in and actually, you know, squeeze the hedge fund guys. And so that's what happened with that. But the problem with that was Robinhood they don't charge you for your trades, right? Everything's free on Robinhood. The reason why they do that is because they make money in some under the table way. And basically what happened was one of the hedge funds that was shorting GameStop actually pays Robinhood to make sure they trade.
Okay.
So there was a conflict of interest there. And so Robinhood had to basically cancel trading because it was hurting their
hedge fund,
in a sense.
So their
employer basically told them to stop it. Yep.
So in essence, you know, people that had Robinhood were buying the GameStop stock, and it was going
right.
up, and as they were making money and wanted to cash out to get their money. So if you'd have put $1,000 in and you'd have made $100,000, now you want to get your $100,000 out. Robinhood didn't allow you to take your money.
Robinhood
out.
Said no. No, they said you couldn't even sell it. They said you couldn't even sell it no more. You just got to hold them to your shares.
Right.
And so that's
why
the price started going down.
Yeah.
That's when the price started
going
down. Of course. Because all brokerages don't operate the same. So just because Robinhood did that don't mean Fidelity did it or TD Ameritrade. You know, they weren't
all
the same. And so that was the real issue here. And that's really, that's a key point to why Ethereum is really taking off, because Ethereum is trying to build platforms where you can have like a trading platform on top of Ethereum and no one can cut it off ever, right? No one has the keys to cut it off because it's decentralized. And so that's why Ethereum has all of a sudden got real popular, because of GameStop. People have realized that we don't actually control what we think we control. We think we have control.
Right.
And then we realize we don't.
That's true.
You know? And so now that people are starting to realize, wait, I don't have as much control as I thought I did. Because a lot of times, you know, when I speak about the benefits of blockchain and crypto, they're like, I don't need that. I'm in control, because they think they are in control until they realize they aren't. And now they realize, oh, maybe I do need this. And so people are starting to wake up.
Well,
and it's definitely a good time to start right now. So right now is a great time to start. You still have plenty of time.
Well, I tell you what, if there are any other callers, any other listeners out there that like to call in, ask a question, or make a comment about how you made your multimillion dollars and bought a yacht out in Florida with cryptocurrency, you know, feel free to, you know, hit the one and tap in. And if not, you know, we'll just ask Kenan
for some final words on what he would like to leave us with regarding cryptocurrency, and you know, we'll set it up for the next show. So what would you like to leave the listeners with tonight? You can give us your website again.
Oh, yeah, the website is keepitasat.com. That's keepitasat.com. And I would leave you guys with, I understand that, you know, crypto and digital assets definitely seem very scary, but I promise you, like anything, any new technology you ever experience, over time, you get more comfortable with it. You spend some time with it over time, and it becomes easier. It becomes easier over time as you digest it. Just don't try to digest it all at once. You just want to take it slow. However, I will say, because you're taking it slow, don't mean leave it, you know, on the back burner, because this industry moves fast. Bitcoin was just $8,000 just last year, and now it's $50,000. And so a lot of people who were thinking about it and getting to it, now sitting here like, dang. So it definitely, you know, behooves you to, you know, act fast, but, you know, with control. You know, don't have to rush into it, but it definitely is an opportunity that can change your life no matter what age you are. So I recommend.
All right.
Well, spend some time with it.
Yeah, I think with this digital currency, this cryptocurrency, is something that you have to be intentional about when it comes to educating yourself on it. It's not just going to fall in your lap, and it's not just going to, make your retirement funds aren't invested in it. And it's not just going to happen unless you seek out the information and education. And so,
and one more thing,
you know,
one more thing before I go.
Yeah, go ahead.
We live in America. I mean, I don't know, everyone might on this call might not live in America, but in America, assets is how you win in this world. Saving money, saving cash does not work anymore. You have to own assets. And, you know, my generation are finding it very hard to find housing because housing is very expensive. And so this could be a tool for a lot of people who weren't able to get a house or people who do have a house. This is a tool to have a nest egg or to give to your grandkids or, you know, just pass along to the next generation. I really believe that, you know, Bitcoin, Ethereum, my grandkids are going to look back at this and like, wow, I'm so happy that you did this, because this is like, you know, I honestly think it's going to be like, you know, saving grandma's house or, you know, or the land in, you know, Alabama that, you know, nobody wants to give away. I mean, no one wants to have. It's going to be that important. It's going to be that big of a deal to where, like, people are going to be passing this down from generation to generation. So it's definitely something to consider. I don't know how else I can stress it. But, oh, my God. If you knew what I knew.
Well, you know, I'm glad that you broke it down that way, because, you know, when it comes to legacy, you know, and we look back into our past, and some of us were fortunate enough that our ancestors, grandfathers, grandmothers, you know, or great-grands or whatever were innovative enough to, you know, make certain moves. And then on the other hand, some of us, you know, our loved ones were caught up in the struggle and just trying to, you know, put bread on the table. And so, you know, just trying to survive. And I mean, the struggle is real. And so when there's an opportunity like prohibition, you know, those that were involved in the illegal sale of alcohol, when alcohol became legal, you know, those people made money, just like John F. Kennedy's family, the Kennedys, you know,
that's how they became wealthy.
And like right now, you know, with the cannabis industry, you know, those that are able to get in on the ground floor, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, you know, they're, relatives will be able to, you know, will be benefiting from that. And so with cryptocurrency, like you said, I think it's the same way. And so I think it's just a matter of education. And so this show is kind of the first step. I mean, we'll have a series of cryptocurrency discussions that will continue to talk about it. And, you know, and as we talk about it, people will become more familiar with it and more familiar with the names. And then at some point people will start opening accounts and putting a couple dollars in just so they can kind of get the feel of it. You know, and so as we continue these conversations, there will be opportunities to make money. You know, scare Definitely. Money don't make money, you know, and you got to be in it to win it, you know. So all those analogies, you know, will come into play. But I do appreciate you, Mr. Keenan. Benning, you know, I've been knowing you for a long time since you were a kid in elementary school, and so I have seen you grow up, and I have seen you, you know, advise my personal relatives, and I've seen them benefit. And, you know, I know that you are not only a computer, you know, expert, you know, but you are definitely involved heavily in the cryptocurrency. And so I do trust your information, and we'll definitely be bringing you back on, and you'll be a regular guest on the show. So I appreciate you coming on today, Mr. Keenan.
Likewise. Pleasure's all mine. I appreciate the honor. Thanks for having me.
No problem. And thank you, Jenny White, for the opportunity to host this show tonight. And so with this, we'll be signing off. This is Let's Talk About It with Jenny White. I'm your host, Maceo Coleman, with our guest, Keenan Irvin Benning, talking about cryptocurrency. And we'll see you next week, next Friday at 8 p.m. Good night.